Orleans, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Of all the languages that a jazz singer can speak, the hardest may be scat. Kiana Linnell makes it sound easy, but she's still learning jazz vocabulary.
You know, I'm embracing that I am a new artist and that I have been classically trained, and my jazz training is ongoing and will ever be growing. So, you know, I'm not about to be Betty Carter for you right now. But, you know, catch me in 6 more years and you'll be like, okay, I see growth.
Catch Kiana Linnell after the break. Kiana Linnell wants to be a world-renowned jazz singer, and today is not the day to bet against her. She's on the rise. Linnell is a recent winner of the International Sarah Vaughan Jazz Vocalist Competition, held each year at Rutgers University. She performs in Europe, in New York, and her usual stomping grounds are right here in Louisiana. She's a classically trained soprano who sung with the Baton Rouge Symphony. And when we spoke with her in 2018, Linnell was on the cusp of releasing her latest album, A Little Love. The album features original songs and some of the many jazz standards that Linnell sings best.
I got a man who's always late every time we have a date, but I love him. Said I love him, so I'm gonna walk right to his gate, see if we can make this thing straight, 'cause I want him, I need to have him. So I say, is you is or is you ain't my baby? Way you're acting lately makes me doubt. You is still my baby, baby. Or has the flame in your heart gone out? See, a man is a creature. Always seems kind of strange. When you think you found him out, he's gone and made a change. So I said, is you is or is you ain't my baby? Maybe baby's found somebody new. Or is you is my baby so true? Say let it be. Maybe baby's found somebody new. Oh, it's you, it's my baby. Said I want you to be my baby. It's you, it's my baby, baby too.
Thank you. Thank you. Kiana Linnell joins us here at Esplanade Studios. So happy you came.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, you sounded wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And you've got the great Kyle Roussel on keyboard here, right?
Right there.
You know, I just, you know, I'm a sucker for a scatter. Anybody who can scat, I am totally and deeply in love with. How much confidence does it take to scat?
Scatting is like, it takes a lot of confidence. The whole time, honestly, Gwen, when we started, I almost looked at him and said, cut the skin. Because it's so nerve-wracking. Because it's you spend a lot of time, and as a new jazz artist, you spend a lot of time, you know, practicing and shedding and trying to increase your vocabulary. But when you get into the situation, only certain amounts stick with you when the lights come on, you know? So it's like you're very vulnerable.
Really?
Yeah, that's the,
does it come
secret.
Down to syllables, or does it come down to
no, it comes
to
down
notes?
To note choices, you mm-hmm. know, rhythm, vocabulary. In the jazz world, they would say jazz vocabulary. So,
okay,
you know.
What is jazz vocabulary 101?
Wow, or should I say pre-K, which is what I would understand.
So it's like jargon. Mm-hmm. Just like if you were a doctor, there are words that you use as a doctor. So in jazz, it's the same thing. There are phrases and note choices that go better over certain transitions of chords that you would use in a jazz sense.
Like what?
Oh, my God. Did you really just ask me that?
I mean, because for the uneducated ear, it's like, okay, shoobity-doo-bop-wow. I mean, you know what I mean?
It's always about learning. So what we go back to is the transcriptions. Scatting is essentially creating counter melodies to the song, you know?
Okay.
And so just knowing the framework of the song and keeping the melody in mind.
Okay.
Like, the first one I learned was Ella's Blue Skies.
Elvis Gerald.
Right. Yeah. Her scats were like four choruses. And then if I go back and analyze the chords that she's singing over and then write it out, I can see what kind of arpeggios and what kind of scale choices she's using. And so that's the vocabulary.
So let me ask you this. So, because you know I'm pushing you, right?
Right.
Okay. So in terms of Ella Fitzgerald's Blue Skies, right? Blue skies calling,
smiling at me,
uh-huh. Talking about blue skies.
Mm-hmm. Do I see blue birds singing a song? Nothing but blue birds all day long. Never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on.
So her first line is like, but see how you can still hear blue skies in that, because she's outlining the song in essence. Does that make sense? You know, I'm embracing that I am a new artist and that I have been classically trained and my jazz training is ongoing and will ever be growing. So, you know, I'm not about to be Betty Carter for you right now. But, you know, catch me in six more years and you'll be like, okay, I see growth. You know, that's my goal, is to continue growing.
You know, we talked to an opera singer not long ago, and she was saying that, you know, there is a natural relationship between coloratura singing and scat singing.
Totally. Because you have, in that style, you have more choices and freedom to embellish, you know, in that classical genre. Tutti approvano, tutti occhiano, femminina, felicità. Tutti la bravano, tutti la chiedono, felicità, femminina.
Does that involve improvisation, or is that something that the composer intends?
Well, there's also a vocabulary for that, but it has to fit within the confines of the orchestration, the ensemble, what's happening with all the other instruments.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, in classical music, there's a sense that all glory and all the great roles go to the sopranos. Okay? That's why we know names like Maria Callas and Leontine Price and, you know, Renee Fleming. They're sopranos like you, right?
Right.
Is the same true of jazz? Is jazz a soprano's world?
No, I don't think we even talk about what voice part of you. No. I don't have to sing it in the key of Ella. I can bring it down a third and still sing the same, you know, the same lines and same vocabulary. It's just going to be in my range, you know?
My blues, I'll lay low. They'll stay low. Never will. Over my head. I'll be an angel till I'm a devil. But until then, hallelujah.
and see. They'll say, girl, take that thing. Until my number's up, I'm gonna fill my cup. I'm gonna live, 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 till I drive. Wait, 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 wait.
Well, so let me ask you this. I mean, you are not from these parts. I mean, you're here, and I get the impression you're here to stay.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere.
At least for now.
I'm not going anywhere. Everyone's like, you gonna move to New York? No, I'm good.
But you come from Texas?
I am from Texas.
Where? Yeah.
So I was born in Tyler, which is East Texas. I spent most of my childhood in Abilene, way west.
Whoa.
Right? And then finished up like high school in the Metro Dallas area.
Wow, that's all over a very big state.
All over, yeah. Yeah, I was in Abilene for like from 2 to 15.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where I grew up.
So what's Abilene like? I mean, especially as you remember it, you know.
Abilene is there's red dirt. It's very dusty.
Mm-hmm.
It's very spread out. There's a railroad track, you know, this side of town. It was a clear definition of the other side of town. It was one of those cities. But Abilene was great for me as a kid because I sang. Music in Texas is huge.
Yes.
You know, I attribute much of what I do to growing up in cities that embraced music education. I had music class from kindergarten, and I'm talking big productions every holiday. Who sing the solo? Me. Like, I mean, and I attribute all of that to, like, my music teacher was amazing, Miss Siltman in elementary school. She was phenomenal. I attribute the music classes to even me remembering, like, history dates. Like, I can remember all the songs that we sang about.
Like
the,
what?
The capitals of cities. If you ask me, like, what?
I gotcha.
Like,
you're
what?
In my studio.
Oh, my God.
You know, you're hooked
so
up to a
there
microphone.
There was this song that was like, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Uh-huh, looking for a land far, far away. The place he found was the USA. Like, all of this. Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut. Like, learning all of that stuff. And I carried that on through life. I would make a song for everything because that would stick with me.
But I love those songs. I mean, you know, the fellow who wrote the original Schoolhouse Rock songs, you know, he recently passed away.
Right, all of that.
And those songs were phenomenal.
You will always remember the song about a bill. Like, always.
I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Let me bring you back to Abilene. Okay, so there you are, Lil Keanna Linnell,
right.
From the black side of Abilene, Texas.
There you go.
Right?
Tell them,
Glenn. All right. So tell us now, what did your folks do for a living?
Okay, so my mom's remarried.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we moved to Abilene. She got remarried. And my mom worked at the state school, which was a home for mentally disabled people. And her husband was a preacher. And he worked for the gas company.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up singing in church. And this was the type of church with no instruments at all. At all. We barely clapped.
Gee. Gee.
Right.
Very, that's pretty buttoned down, you know?
Very stripped down, vocals only. I was the youngest of three children at that time. And then my dad still lived in Tyler. And
your biological
my
father.
Biological mm-hmm. father still is in Tyler, and he is a singer. My mom sings, like our whole family sings. And
really?
Yeah.
So, what kind of music did your biological father sing?
All gospel, all church music.
Church
acapella.
Music.
My dad's a bass, and so he sings like the bass line of like a men's quartet or a men's group. And then at church with my mom, you know, we'd be sitting on the row and we would have to harmonize. There's no singing the same note. Get off my note. I'd get an elbow. So it's like a race. Like, as soon as the song is started, it's like a race to find your note. And like, my mom was like my first voice teacher, I guess, because she'd be like, stop singing out of your nose. Stop singing. Don't do that. Like, at church, you know? So it's kind of rough. Now that I think about it, it's kind of rough.
But she took an interest.
Totally.
You know,
oh,
that
yeah.
Got
she,
you where
yeah.
You are,
singing has right? been, singing is very important to our family.
Let me ask you this. What did your house sound like in Abilene? You know, what was playing on the radio? What were people singing?
Glenn, there was no secular, secular music was like shunned.
Really?
In all aspects. And then we even got we had a piano at our house, and I couldn't play the piano when my mom was home because it was too loud.
Really?
Piano's too loud. So I really feel like that scarred me as a piano player, but... I'm just saying, I'm working through that now with my therapist, so.
Well, okay, so you're talking about a relatively silent home.
Except for
a cappella singing.
A cappella singing, you know, my mom would sing while she would cook, you know, but so then my sister, I have a sister who's 10 years older than me. So on the weekends, we were that family of the kids. You had to clean. You get up early on Saturday morning. And you're cleaning, and the parents are gone. They're like going garage sale hunting. And so my sister was like, wicket, wicket, DJ. We had the old TV with the radio on top. So it's like blasting. All I keep hearing in my head right now is, and I would walk 500
miles.
Right. And then we'd have to like hurry up and change the radio back to the gospel station before my parents got home.
And so, you know, can you think of any gospel songs during that time that that stuck with you that you might, you know, for instance, want to share as we sit here with our microphones in a beautiful studio?
Hi, with a wonderful
with a lovely
pianist
right Mr. Roussel. Yes.
All right. Let's see. I think we could do one. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand, I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night. Precious Lord, take my hand and lead me on.
That was fabulous.
Thank you.
That was fabulous.
Yeah. Music has always been like therapeutic for me. So like church music was just like, you know, it's like a prayer, you know, it's just a plea for guidance and help to make it through the foolishness that life has given you. And so as I, you know, was trudging my way through my little life in Abilene, it was just whatever I can do to make it through. Where can I sing next?
Meaning, are you talking about something beyond just the natural desire to just go your own way?
Yes, there were things outside of that. In any environment where there's so much restriction and you are surrounded by people that are happily living other types of lives without as much restriction. You know, it's like, why is life so complicated? Like, we can't go swimming? Like, I can't wear a swimsuit? What? Like, you know, like, I can't go spend the night at anybody. I can't go to anybody's house. Like, we're just in this just very restrictive religious home. And so school was like the escape. What can I sign up for? My parents were very supportive in being involved in school, you know, having extracurricular activities and figuring out ways to get to college, right? And then once I really started figuring out I could sing, that was like, okay, this is how I'm about to get up out of here.
This is a rebroadcast of our conversation with singer Kiana Linnell. Coming up, the best talent show that's never been on television. Stay with us. This is a rebroadcast of Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. As a teenager, Kiana Linnell dreamed of a more secular life, and her background singing gospel songs helped her get where she was going. Songs like maybe this one.
How I got over. How did I make it over? You know my soul looks back and wonder, how'd I make it over? How I made it over. Going over all these years. You know my soul looks back and wonder, how'd I make it over?
You said that your family moved from Abilene to Dallas.
Right.
Now, there are great colleges for singers in North Texas, mm-hmm. like Denton.
Too close. Too close.
Too close?
I had to get away. So LSU was like the perfect distance, you know, and my mom couldn't just pop up on me like, hey, I'm in the area. You know, like a 7-hour drive is like, yes, that's perfect. Yes.
And so how did freedom taste?
So Gwen, I came to LSU with $100 in my pocket and they dropped me off. Boom. I come from that household of when you're 18, go find your way, grasshopper. Fortunately, I got an academic scholarship, and the music department also gave me, so I was on a full ride to LSU, so I didn't really have too much, but studying music at a university is unlike any other major that you would take, because,
how so?
You know, you have to audition. You don't have to audition to be an engineer. You just have to pass math, you know? You know, they want you in their choir. They want you on their opera, but there's not a remedial theory class if you came not knowing what an augmented F sharp chord is, you know? So
how much did you know?
Oh, Gwen. I knew enough. I was very chorally based. I made all state choir, you know, I could sight read. I could do my part as a vocalist, but as a total musician, I was not as versed as I should have been.
But you made it.
But I made it by the skin of my teeth. And my confidence wasn't great. So I started off as a performance major. And the way that the classical world works, you're judged, and you have to do what that page says.
And what does the page say?
Whether it's a 30-second rest or it's a tied note to a 30-second, like, you have to be on meticulously your entrances and your endings and your note choices. Not that I wasn't capable, not that I couldn't nail it, but confidence is 80% of it.
Yes.
You know? Being prepared automatically increases your confidence. When you're prepared for something, you're not literally worried. But there's also just this insecurity that I used to carry of, what if they don't like me? Mm-hmm. You know, what if I'm not really Kathleen Battle right now, but that's what I want to be, but I don't know. It kept me from reaching my full potential at LSU. And so I actually changed my major from performance and was a music major. And so I didn't have to do a recital because I was so nervous. That recital haunted me.
Do you regret it?
Oh, totally. Totally. I really could have been. I mean, classically, I have a really good classical voice.
And so once you graduated, were you, you know, how did you see the future unfolding? Where did you go?
So I was, by the time I graduated, I was pregnant.
No way!
Uh-huh. Right?
So we knew where some of your future was going.
Right. So I had my baby like 3 weeks before graduation. And then I wanted to, my goals at that point were to create a home and a family that I wish I would have had. And so that was my main focus of just being a mom and a wife. And I sang at a church. I had a church job.
That's lovely. That's lovely.
But I still kind of wanted to be a singer, but I was like, eh, I got kids now, can't be doing all that. Be a mom.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And so you and I, we actually spoke a while back in an interview, and you were talking about working at AT&T.
Right.
In customer service.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you said, was a very interesting bridge to your work as a professional.
Totally.
And so tell us what goes on at AT&T customer service, because we all call.
Right. You all call. And you call the call center, and there's a room that's like, it's got 100 women or 100 people in it, 80% women. And we all have our headsets on, and we have our favorite button, which is the mute button. Right. So whenever you don't hear music playing, you're on mute.
Okay.
And we can still hear you, but you just can't hear us.
Because
while you're on mute, we are like, girl, what'd you do last night? La, 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 la. There's music playing. We're like singing and catching up. Can you hold while I pull up your account? Yeah, I just really have to keep you on the phone a minute and 60 seconds, or else that means I didn't try to sell you something. And at this call center, we would be singing, and it was like karaoke. Like everybody
what?
Would have requests.
It sounds like a ball. And yeah. So what did the girls want to hear you sing?
Ooh,
the ballads, the dancey songs?
No, the upbeat R&B stuff. So in the call center, all these women, there's always conversations about what their man didn't do, isn't doing, should have been doing. And so lots of the like female R&B singers talking about life, Mary J. Blige.
Oh, sure.
All that stuff. Yeah, no more drama, all that.
And so how did that translate to you singing publicly?
Right. So then there was a coworker of mine that sang with an R&B Zydeco blues band. And so we ended up sitting next to each other, and she would look at me and she'd be like, you want to come sing with my band? You should be singing. And I'd be like, I'm a mom. I was pregnant with my second child at that time. I was like, I've got kids, got a mortgage. I had bought a house, you know. I was like, I can't be singing. And then I was giving her kind of a side eye of like, you got a band? I don't know. And so finally, she talked me into it, and I went and sat in with her band.
Do you remember what you sang?
I sang Jill Scott, Is It the Way You
How
Love
does that
Me?
Go?
Is it the way you love me, baby? So went out, sang that song, and then I started going sit in with them every now and then, because I had never been on stage with like a live band with audience participation. I was bit. Like, I was like, this is cool. I like this, you know?
So the audience reaction was good that
audience
first
reaction
night.
Was amazing.
And this was all in Baton Rouge?
This was all in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
Yeah, all in Baton Rouge. This happened for maybe like 6 months. I just go every now and then. And then her name was Janelle. Janelle had an untimely death. Yeah, she died, some complications, and I just kept remembering her saying, you should be singing. You should be singing. You should be singing. And so I went to her services, and the band was there. This is like a movie. The band was there, and they were like, Kiana, you want to come sing with us? So I started singing with their band, like, every Thursday night from, like, 6 to 9, happy hour, $5 entry, going in, sweating, and, like, dance parties. Zydeco, yeah.
Zydeco.
R&B.
An R&B
old
band.
Old school R&B, like...
Like what? Like LTD? Like Aretha?
Yeah,
like,
Aretha.
Anita Baker?
Yep.
Like Chaka Khan? Like Rufus?
Chaka Khan, Rufus, yeah. It was really a good band. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Really, really fun. That band, to the T, is where I learned how to command a stage and get an audience and have them with you on that journey.
Love can't wait till tomorrow. Somebody say it with me, right, right, right here. Love can't wait till tomorrow. Show somebody that you care. Say it again, say love can't wait till tomorrow.
Exactly. And so the Baton Rouge music scene at that time, give us an understanding of what that was like. Is it like New Orleans where
Baton Rouge
can find
is totally
somewhere
different.
To sing?
Totally different. The scene is a lot smaller. You know, everybody knows everybody. There's not a big jazz scene in Baton Rouge. And the scene is kind of, I hate to say, it's kind of segregated in Baton Rouge, totally. So, I call it my Chitlin' circuit work because we were doing lots of little hole in the walls on Plank Road, you know, and that's just straight black. That's the black side of town.
Sure. North Baton Rouge. Going
yeah.
All
North
the way
Baton
up
Rouge
through Clinton.
Going on. And there were like four little spots that we would do. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to give it to them. And I learned a lot about myself. And I learned that I was like, OK, I really like this. I really enjoy this. But I'm bringing home like $60
right.
after spending 5 hours away from my kids, my family. I'm paying the babysitter, all of that, you know, and I just gave these people the show of their life. Yeah. Like they would talk about me like I was Whitney Houston. I swear, like I was like, okay, I'm kind of good. But I can't, like I wanna be better. I wanna be able to provide for my family doing this. I really sat down and was like, okay, but at this point, I'm almost divorced. I have two kids. I have a house. And at this time, I'm teaching also. I had quit AT&T, and I'm teaching because that was a part of my transition of how do you become a musician that's able to tour. And I was like, okay, so all these people I'm meeting, a lot of them teach, and then they tour in the summer. So I was like, I went and started teaching elementary music and beginning band. I was like, okay, I'm kind of middle-aged. I can't be Beyonce. What can facilitate me being an international touring artist? What can facilitate me singing at the Kennedy Center, singing at the Met? So I started looking at people that I admire, and I've always loved Diane Reeves, always loved Patty Austin, loved, you know. So I was like, these people sing all kinds of music. But when you look at their criteria, they're called jazz artists.
That's true.
So I was like, okay, this is where I need to gravitate to. I have to become a jazz artist because you're not just a singer, you're a musician that is able to learn music, create music, manipulate music on a higher musical level. This is gonna be home.
Want you to know I go for your pleasing. Want you to know it really is pleasing. Want you to know I ain't about teasing. Sabo do 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 be a dovey baby. When you
say goodnight. Squeeze me,
Kiana Linnell with Just Squeeze Me. Just recently, she made her singing debut at the Kennedy Center. This is a rebroadcast of Music Inside Out. Stay with us. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is a rebroadcast of Music Inside Out. Kiana Linnell is at the beginning of what looks to be a brilliant career in jazz. Already, she's attracted some of the best collaborators in the business. She made them want her. This is how she sounds practicing.
If I'm in the middle and I can't stop loving you, and you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know how glad I am.
So I was meeting all these musicians from New Orleans. I started coming sit in New Orleans. Met Kyle.
Mr. Roussel, who's
met Kyle
on keyboard
Roussel
here.
So long ago. And I had to learn how all this works, how sitting in works. You have to know somebody that then can then get the band leader's attention to say, yeah, she can sing, let her sing. So, like, I would come to his gigs with Shannon Powell all the time.
Oh, the wonderful drummer,
the wonderful
Shannon Powell.
Shannon Powell, right?
Yes.
I would go sing with Shannon, and he'd be like, yeah, Key, keep doing it, keep doing it. You know, it's all kind of people in the city I would come sit in with. Just building my repertoire, sitting and listening to them do songs and going home and learning those songs. And I'd go see Jermaine Basil weekly and take lessons mentally from her, you know.
Do singers get pushback? Because, I mean, I love jazz, but, I mean, no jazz lover can ignore the fact that jazz musicians can be some of the snobbiest people you will ever meet in your life.
Let me tell you when. The jazz police are real. They are real, and they will remain unnamed. But it's good though, because, like I said, there's a vocabulary, and it's an art form that you have to respect and you have to learn it. And when I first started coming to sit in, I'm coming from the Zydeco R&B, and so I would come in singing, and I think to myself, what a wonderful, like, I'm doing all, and they'd be like, send her back to Baton Rouge with all of that. Tell her go listen to some Billie Holiday and cut all that running out.
Okay, so what does the running take away from the song?
Just what we talked about. It takes away from that simple melody that's purposeful and that people connect to.
I get to watch all of them grow. They learn so much more than I ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world, world. And I think it's not that bad after all.
Are there any particular songs in the traditional jazz repertoire that you like to sing in particular, and are there any that you really would prefer not to?
The messages to me are very important.
Right.
You know, and I speak for the battered woman, the survivor of many, many different things, a mother, you know, the single woman that is still in search of love, you know, and so that's the only place I am kind of right now.
Yeah, well, you do a very interesting kind of mashup of an established song and a new song.
Mm-hmm.
You do Be My Husband, the
right.
Nina Simone song. I don't know if she wrote it.
Her husband wrote it.
Her
husband actually wrote it, yeah.
Interesting.
Be my husband, man. I want to be your wife, yeah. Be my husband, man. I'll be your wife. Love and honor you till the day I. Love me, Daddy. Love me so good. Be my husband.
husband, I'll be your wife.
Right. So you do Be My Husband, made famous by Nina Simone, mm-hmm. as well as a song called, I think, Love Me? Is
right.
that the name
Love
of the
me.
Song?
That's my song.
Which is your song.
Right.
How did you come to make that pairing?
It's a sticky line when you want to do original music in this genre, especially around New Orleans, where people, they only want to really hear the popular jazz.
You're right.
So as
the
a...
songbook songs.
Song, right, the Great American Songbook songs.
Yes.
And so artistically, things that you could do to create new paths are like just smash some songs into the middle of another song. It's like, wait,
yeah.
what was that? Oh, it's gone now. We're back to this original song. So to keep yourself growing, not that that music isn't timeless, but the audiences need to have a connection to something that they are familiar with, you know? And I know that's the entertainer part of me as well.
Why won't you just love me? Or leave me
at the moment, that's one of the biggest concerns is not being torn apart for my songwriting and letting my voice and instrument shine through. So, but I'm patient. Like, you had to just realize that this isn't the last thing that you're going to hear from me. This is just the beginning, you know? So buckle up. Because I am training. I've been studying with Roger Dickerson, and he's, like, kicking me all over the place, and it's beautiful.
Tell us who Roger Dickerson is.
I can't do a really good job at that. Roger Dickerson is a infamous New Orleans patriarch of music.
One might say renowned.
Right. Well, renowned. But, like, one of the best almost-kept secrets also. You know, and
he's trained a lot of
performers,
Louisiana,
a lot
from
of
New Orleans.
Composers, a lot of New Orleans musicians have studied with him. And like, I didn't get everything I needed to get out of college. It didn't sink into me when I was 19.
Right.
But now, every time I go to this lesson, it's like, whoop, it's in me. You know, I'm applying it every day. And that's my goal is to be, if you're a musician and you can read it, write it, play it, you know, you're going to be okay. Just don't settle for just being a pretty voice. Be a musician.
What does that mean?
That means being able to lead the band rehearsal and tell them what you want to hear, comping you, being able to play some of the things that you may need the bass player to play for you or the drummer, being able to give them the feel and the vibe or, you know, as basic as counting your songs off and knowing what key you want to do them in.
And so are you a band leader? Do you consider yourself to be a band leader? What does it take to be a good band leader?
Yes, it takes so much more. Like a band leader in general, you are not just the band leader, you're the counselor, therapist, the courier, the Uber driver, like you're the cook, the chef, like all these jobs you get when you're the boss. It's just the boss. Like when you're the boss in anything, the accountant, all of that. I mean, I'm an all right band leader right now. That's just goes back to, like I said, that apprenticeship. I've been like working with Don Vappy. He's an amazing band leader.
Oh, yeah.
You know, working with David Torkanowski, Roderick Paulin knows every part of the chart. You know, when everybody's coming in, who wasn't in, where, you know, why, like, what happened, you know? So, and there's a fine line between, like, working with Terrence. Like,
Terrence
I've been
Blanchard.
Sitting in with him,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and the E-Collective. And he's the kind of band leader that, you know, has a framework, but appreciates and wants the artistic. Because when you hire people who have put as much time, I can't try to tell Kyle exactly what to play.
The good Kyle,
you know, because
he's
got a level of musicianship that needs to be respected and explored but I can guide where my vibe, what vein I'm thinking in. But I still want to give him the respect and opportunity to be an artist himself within that confine, if that makes sense.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah. You know, since you are the goal maker, you know, the planner, the one who envisions where you want to be, when we sit down again in 5 years or so, when you are even closer to middle age, then what are we going to be talking about?
Oh, we're going to be talking about the Grammys. We're going to be talking about the symphonies that are playing my music. We're going to be talking about my stint on Broadway. We're going to be talking about the movie roles and the soundtracks that I was just on. Yeah, all that, Gwen.
Well, Miss Linnell, we're going to have to get to work.
But that's happening.
But I'm game. I'll be here. And I want to thank you for all the time that you've given us and for coming here to Esplanade Studios. It was just really wonderful to have you.
Thank you.
And so what would you like to leave us with, song-wise?
I think we're going to go with the blues because, you know, I got the blues from Baton Rouge. New Orleans, where I'm getting my jazz training. But definitely, I really like the blues. That's what we're going to do.
They call it Stormy Monday. Tuesday is just as sad. They call it Stormy Monday. Tuesday is just as sad. My Wednesday don't get no sweeter. Thursday is also sad. But that eagle flies on Friday. Saturday nights I go out and I play. Well, that eagle flies on Friday. Saturday nights, I go out and I like to play. But you can find me bright and early on Sunday morning at that church trying to pray. 'Cause every day, every day I have the blues. Every single day now, every day I have the blues. See me worrying, baby. Oh, you see me wondering, 'cause it's you I hate to lose. They call it Stormy Monday. Tuesday is just as sad. They call it Stormy. They call it Stormy Monday. Tuesday is just as sad. Lord knows my Wednesday don't get no sweeter. And my Thursday is also sad. Oh, no, no, no. no, no, no.
Lovely. Kiana Linnell.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. And Kyle Roussel on keyboard, thank you.
Thank you.
Kiana Linnell and Kyle Roussel joined us here at Esplanade Studios in New Orleans. And you've been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Jesse Snyder, Garrett Pittman, Justin Armstrong, and Margaret Howes. Music Inside Out is produced in partnership with WWNO. Special thanks this week go to Giovanna Joseph and Marini Recording Studios. For more information about Kiana Linnell, go to our website at musicinsideout.org. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Major support for Music Inside Out comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection. Music Inside Out also receives support from the Ruth U. Fertel Foundation, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, the Pinkalope Foundation, Baba Jim Istanbul Studios and Mastering, Adam Newman Designs, Shop Nadine Blake, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax-deductible, thanks to our partnership with National Performance Network. For more information about how you can support our program, please go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.